Final hour. Take two. Action. DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe. We're live here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. AJ Malesko, she has accepted Hal Gill's friend request, and they are friends.
So says who?
Well, is that true, though, you've accepted his friend request?
No, it's pending.
Oh, it's pending?
Oh.
Yep. Yeah, it's pending.
Wow. So we've got a development started here. So did something happen outdoors before you came indoors?
No. It's all good. It's unfortunately, there's nothing that can, at this point, that would surprise me with him. So
that is a very true statement.
Sylvie.
That's our guy, though.
We were discussing Barry Trotz getting fired.
Yeah.
That was like
huge news coming out of Long Island.
Are you kidding me?
Me too. It totally blindsided me this morning. I saw the news. I did not call into the media availability because I'm here getting ready for this game tonight, but saw all the quotes and was very surprised to see it based on one tough year. But I actually thought Barry did a fantastic job with that crew, and especially looked down the stretch run. Tough start for them being on the road for October into November 20th was when their first home game was. Hit hard with COVID. I mean, there were a lot of things out of his control, but I thought if you look at basically February, March, their stretch run, how well they played, I was surprised to see that. I don't know all the details, so I don't know what was maybe some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Have to believe Lou has somebody in mind to take over. I don't know
well,
who that
Lou
might be.
Well, Lou said the players need another voice, but he hasn't talked to the players.
Yeah.
There
Sounds
you go.
Right. Yep.
Okay. All right, Lou, thank you.
Can I just ask on that? Where is Lane Lambert at this point in his career?
You know, I think that's there's been a lot of talk even before this. There's been talk about Lane getting a chance at being the bench boss somewhere, right? Whether he's applying outside, whether he gets to be a head coach somewhere, whether this is his opportunity. But if that's the case, is he really the different voice? Because he has been Barry Trotz's man. He's great, though. I mean, you know, players have a lot of respect for him. He's a fantastic guy.
Does he still have great hair?
He's got great hair.
Oh, yeah.
Great hair.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good
I mean, that
Do you know about the hashtag Lambert Flow?
No.
Like when he was on the bench here?
Is there a Willie Flow hashtag, too?
I wish. I wish. Back in when I was playing for Vanderbilt, there could have been, had there been Twitter at the time.
Okay.
But there,
okay.
It was before Twitter.
That's
so, you
right.
know,
that's
right. just why it didn't happen. But every time they would show Lane Lambert on the bench, he would do an interview like the assistants do. And the hashtag would just go on the Twitter scroll, the Lambert Flow. Yeah. It didn't matter what he was saying.
Lambert Flow.
The Lambert Flow.
I like it. Okay, we'll have to bring that back to Long Island. No, it is interesting. You look at it, fits very much into the Lou Lamoriello, like, you know, no facial hair, but you got, you know, you just look right every time you step out. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens if it's, because as far as I saw this morning, all the assistant coaches were still there and were not being let go. So I don't know.
Well, he will have suitors, not Ryan suitors, but he'll have suitors, Chicago, Winnipeg, Philadelphia, Detroit.
Detroit.
Maybe Vegas. I don't know what they're planning on doing there. But where do you think he jumps right back in the fray? And if he does, where would be a good landing spot?
Well, he's from Winnipeg. So that one does seem to make a lot of sense for him. If he wants to go back there, I know that he's still got family back in the area. Chicago, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about that, and Detroit as well. So, you know, I don't know whether he will jump back in. Whether I saw some speculation that he may want to get more into the management side of it too. So he's got, I think, 1 year left too. He's getting paid. So does he take a little time, decide where he's going to go? I can see him. You know, you look at the big markets, right? You look at Chicago. Would be a great gig for him. But then, heading home at this point, he's accomplished so much, right? I mean, what he did here in Nashville for this franchise, and then going and winning a cup in Washington. So he certainly has done a lot, and he's has a lot of respect around the league, I think, from a lot of the players. So I think he's in a position to write his own ticket.
AJ, coming into this series, I was really questioning, how is Colorado going to handle the pressure? The pressure's real. Like, they have to make a run. Not getting out of the first round, they have to make a run. Or I said, look, I don't know if Bednar's going to survive. Like, if they get put out early, I think they may decide it's time for a change of direction. Well, through three games, we've seen how they've handled the pressure of making a run. They've been pretty dominant in this series. What has been your takeaway through three games?
Yeah, they you know, it's interesting too, because you look at April. They sort of stumbled a little down the stretch. Right? And you never
coasting.
Know what that means. Yeah, were they coasting? Were they just waiting? And is there a switch that players can flip? That's always been a question, right? Do you have to play meaningful hockey up until the end in order to be battle ready and battle tested for the playoffs? And I think that for Colorado, they proved, you know, they get a lot of people back. They get Landeskog back for the playoffs, so there's an emotional lift when you have a player like that coming back in the lineup as well. They've been impressive. I mean, they're deep, they're fast, they're physical. Obviously, Kemper is a question mark, but he's been a great goaltender for them.
You said physical. I did not expect that this series, and they've been – I got to give it to them. They've been more physical than I thought.
Stood up to it.
I thought they
pretty
just
well.
Yeah, I just thought they wanted to, you know, skate really fast and show off their talent and just avoid all that stuff. But they haven't been afraid to mix it up a little.
No, you know, that's always been something about Nathan MacKinnon that surprises me. Every time I call games, I'm like, he's so fast, he's so skilled, but he is not afraid to mix it up a little bit. He doesn't always have to because he can outskate most people. But I think the whole team, they do have a heaviness to them that, you know, maybe in the past they haven't been as willing or as able to jump into that the fray or whatever it may be. You know, the big question mark is, you say a deep run, not just get out of the first round. I think that there is motivation for them. If they look last year, they're sweep St. Louis, then they fall to Vegas, right? That's what you look, you go back to Tampa Bay in 2019, they get swept by Columbus, they come storming back, they win the last two cups. So they have these sort of moments in their history, a lot of these teams, where they've stumbled one year and their core remembers it. They use it as motivation. And we were just talking to Bednar, and he said that from training camp, we've been talking about when we lost to Vegas. They've used that as motivation all season long. So now they come into this, and they obviously are executing, right? And they came out flying in game one against you guys. Game two obviously was a much tighter game, ended up taking it in overtime. But looking at the way that the Preds played them in game three, I know it ended up being a little bit more lopsided, but it was a good, even matchup for a lot of the game from what I saw. I wasn't working that game, but watching it, and it was some momentum shifts, right? The goalie, the challenge that didn't work, and then the power play goals, and something, you know, I think power play was obviously the big thing. But yeah, I do think Colorado's been impressive, and Nashville has their hands full for game four.
We're talking to AJ Molesko from ESPN. So, AJ, you get to bounce around and do different games, different series. There's a couple trends I want to ask you about. One, which was a sore spot here, was the goaltender interference. There's been a bunch of them in the playoffs so far. I'm just curious, when you're the analyst and you have to try to make the call as they're going through it, how hard that is for you? Because as we know, it's really hard to nail down what exactly is or is not. And there's always going to be some of that, but it seems especially hard this year.
Yeah, and I think it is incredibly, and you know it, right? You're sitting out there, you're watching goaltender interference, and our job is, as an analyst, is to first guess, right? So we're supposed to sit there and give our opinion, and this is what we think. Almost every one of them is pretty much 50-50 because you don't know. It's so subjective. These refs are looking at it. They're talking to the off-ice officials. You've got the, you know, sometimes you have the Toronto War Room get involved, whatever it may be. But, you know, you go back to the Rangers-Pittsburgh game one, ended up going triple overtime, but there was a goaltender interference challenge at the end of the third period, rather. And even Gallant, the Rangers coach, had said at that point, that's 50-50. I knew it wasn't going to go our way. And if you have the coach saying that, you knew that it was probably a little less than 50-50 because every coach thinks it should go their way.
Because John Hines sticks by it. He said it again today. Look, we would do that again.
I saw that. I wasn't working that game. I actually did, and my opinion on that was that I disagreed with the ref's call on that one. That doesn't I get it wrong all the time. And I'm not trying to. I think a lot of us do, right? Because
you can't ever get it
100%. But that's a problem though, isn't it?
But how do you solve it? I agree with you, and I think the league has to look at it, but it's so subjective. And you know, I work with Brian Boucher. He's a goalie, so he always has it, you know, he's always defending the goalies, and that's great. We do want to protect our goalies, right? And across this league, they're often in very vulnerable positions, whatever it may be. But it is a, you know, I worked the Boston-Carolina game yesterday. Rod Brind'Amour challenged, and he said he would have bet his life on that.
Yep.
But in that one, I actually agreed that it wasn't a goaltender interference call. So I actually got that one right. Let's celebrate that.
Right.
That's a good one.
I feel like like a baseball player, if you're hitting like 333, that's not bad. You know, like,
yeah, exactly. That's good.
Every time it happens, I tweet out 50-50. Yeah. Like, that's what I did. Yeah. I'm like, I feel this way, but it's going to be 50-50. I have no idea.
Right. And yeah, if I were the ref, I would say this. But I always have to tag it with, but it's a subjective call. And we don't even know what angles they're looking at, too, because sometimes the officials will have different angles than what we are seeing. Or, you know, whether it's an offside review, all these different things that, I don't know if you guys find this, but with the team, we get the good angle of it after the officials make the call.
Right. I'm We're like, not oh, allowed
well,
to show it
Right.
Until
and
after.
I'm like, that's, oh, that's what they were seeing. Okay, now I understand what they were doing. Goaltender interference, a little different because it is so subjective. But that was a huge turning point in the game for the Preds. There's no question about it. And that's tough when the officials make a direct. The best officials are the ones you don't notice. And unfortunately, through this playoffs, you asked about the trends. There are a lot of penalties being called in these playoffs. I understand that's where we are. It seems consistent from ref to ref, and it's in the league, and they're trying to get offense up, and they're trying to keep players safe. So there's reasons behind it. But special teams are a huge, huge factor, whereas a long time, or not even that long ago, it was, you know, playoffs were always played 5-on-5.
Speaking of offense being up, it also has led to a lot of lopsided games. How crazy is this? I think the numbers, I've seen some people put out actual numbers that support what it just feels like. There's not a lot of those real tight 1-1, 2-1 games that are going to double. There's the exception being, of course, New York-Pittsburgh in that first game, but a lot of games being decided by 4 or 5 goals, just routes.
Yeah, but then you look at every series except for this one, and they're all 2-2, right? They're all, the series are close.
Yes.
So it is interesting. You know, it'd be interesting to look at that stat and you know, what was L.A.? Edmonton was 4-0 last night, so that's different. But how many of the 7-4 games are, you know, 2 empty netters or 1 empty, you know, so you do have a little bit of that, too. Where
but Edmonton won 6-0, and then they turn around and lose 4-0. That's to your point.
Minnesota St. Louis has had 4 games like that, right?
Yeah.
Two each
it's
way.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and it is. It is bizarre when you have these momentum swings, and it's almost like you get a lead, and you don't have these crazy comebacks either.
Yeah.
AJ Malesko is with us from ESPN. When you watch Philip Forsberg in this series and he has not registered a point yet, 42 goals in the regular season, which is crazy to say that was second on the team to Matt Duchene, do you feel like he's trying to do too much right now and that's affecting his game?
I think that's a fair assessment. I think that for any of these guys, you know, the opponents will key in on them, right? And when you've got a team as deep as Colorado, and especially when you're in Colorado and Bednar has the last change, he can look at Duchene, he can look at Forsberg, and he can look at their numbers and say, okay, these are the guys we have to neutralize. And if you, again, you have the depth both up front and the defense that Bednar can do that. Yes, in the playoffs, you need your big guys to show up. There's no question about it. And the big guys for Colorado have shown up. And I think for the Preds, if you look at Forsberg, he would probably be the first person to say that he needs to produce more than 0 points. Is he trying to do too much? Probably. Is he feeling the pressure? Probably. The big question is, how does he respond to that? What does he do tonight with their backs against the wall? And that's, you know, he's through in the past been able to score some clutch goals, come through big. So, you know, hopefully he'll show up tonight.
And then another guy, Tanner Janot, had such a great rookie year, has not really been a factor. Do you think that's just a product of the what he plays and the type of game that he plays, and maybe it's caught up with him from a fatigue standpoint, or what do you see from him?
It could be, and you look at any of these rookies coming in too. I mean, 82 games, that's a slog, right? And especially this season with the COVID breaks that you've had, and then down the stretch, all these teams, like, I mean, you guys played every other day for stretches.
2 months.
Right? I mean, it's nuts. In March and April for what you guys had to do. So I think that for anybody, that's a grind. But I think especially for a rookie coming in and having to do that and travel around and go through different time changes. And, you know, it was a great run for a while. And then I do think the fatigue and more. I mean, these guys are in great shape. It's the mental fatigue. It's the grind of getting out there and then getting to this point. And then, you know, he comes into the season with no pressure, undrafted, comes in and suddenly he's this Tanner for, you know, Calder, or Janot for Calder. Everybody's talking about him as one of the great rookies. And then, you know, I think that's the pressure does start to build a little more, the expectations on him to score the big goals, to big hit that's going to turn the game around. I think that's been tough.
You said your friend request was pending with Hal. We've been putting out some of your comments during this interview. He's been liking them, so he really wants you to approve The friend request.
I think he's actually eating my lunch right now. That's what he's doing. I think it's all gone.
By the way, if you would like a lighted bracelet that they gave away Saturday night, Hal's got them because Talon went around and collected all of them.
Yeah.
He had about 500
up
bracelets.
And down. It's like the O-rings from the
80s. If you need any for the kit,
just watches.
You know
he's
what?
Got them.
I'm sure Talon will give one to my son then. So he'll probably have.
He'll give him multiples.
Yes, I'm sure.
Hey, good to see you. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Enjoy the game tonight.
I will.
AJ Molesko, ESPN, good stuff. Remember, AKA pending Hal's friend. Willie, tell everybody about QC Kinetics.
Yes, QC Kinetics. That is some good stuff. Of course, it's in our area and ready for you, really for the first time. It's just recently came in. You may have heard me talking about this at the end of 2021. But if you suffer, if you're new to it, here is the deal with QC Kinetics. Wake up without pain, okay? If you suffer from chronic joint pain, don't assume that the steroid shots and pain pills and surgery are the only options that are out there. That's where QC Kinetics comes in. Real, lasting, life-changing relief. They're the nation's leader in using biologic therapies to repair damaged tissue in your aching joints. The success rate is outstanding. People with knee, back pain, shoulders, hips, they're moving again, enjoying life, getting on the move with QC Kinetics. This is advanced, unique treatment. It uses natural biologic agents, mostly from your own body. These powerful, highly concentrated growth factors are put directly into your affected joint, and they soothe the inflammation, restore the damaged tissue. Regenerative with no surgery, no drugs, no downtime. So it's time to get a second opinion. Check this out. Call QC Kinetics and wake up to a life without pain. Get that consultation. This might be for you. Here's the phone number for QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. 615-249-4024 for QC Kinetics.